Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Religion and politics, two forbidden topics, guaranteed to start an argument somewhere, sometime, at least in the right setting, like mixing nitro and glycerin, if you're not careful. In the gospel reading today, both religion and politics are set against Jesus. You heard it, those Pharisees, those paragons of religion, and there's Herod Antipas, always the consummate politician. Jesus, you remember, was traveling on Herod's turf at the time when the Pharisees came to him, warning, you better get out of here, Herod wants to kill you. Well, the Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus too. They'd been plotting for over a year, they just couldn't figure out the how and the when. Jesus seems totally unconcerned. He is, after all, the Lord. His life is his to lay down and to take up again. When he dies, he does it on his terms. Death threats didn't concern Jesus. The one who battled the devil in the wilderness with nothing but the word of God has nothing to fear from the likes of King Herod. Go tell that fox, I've got things to do today, tomorrow, the next day, demons to cast out, sick people to heal, and on the third day, I will reach my goal. Jesus knew that religion and politics would be the tools used to do him in eventually, but in his death, he would be the winner. He would be the conqueror. On the third day, he would rise again. The divine fox can easily outfox that foxy old Herod. And as a sarcastic thanks, but no thanks, to the Pharisees for their feigned concern over his safety, Jesus says, I must go on today, tomorrow, and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where Israel's religion and politics came together, the city of palace and temple, of kings and clergy. King David built the king's palace in Jerusalem and made it Israel's capital city. Solomon built a temple there. Crown and altar, king and priest, politics and religion were ground into the dust of Jerusalem's streets. But to be sure, Jerusalem had a bad reputation when it came to God's prophets. According to tradition, Isaiah was sawn in two on a hollow log in Jerusalem. First Christian martyr, James, brother of John, killed by Herod in Jerusalem. So was Stephen. Religion and politics always want to silence the word. They always want to kill Jesus. Jeremiah, the prophet, understood the price for preaching the word. Didn't seem to care either. You heard what he said. Do whatever you want with me, but rest assured that if you put me to death, you'll bring the guilt of innocent blood on yourselves and on this city and on those who live in it. Jerusalem was awash in innocent blood. It was soaked into its streets. Pilate washed his hands and said, I'm innocent of this man's blood. Judas tried to give the money back because it was blood money, for he had betrayed innocent blood. The priest took the money that Judas had thrown back at them and bought a field of blood with it. The mob who wanted Jesus crucified yelled, His blood be on us and on our children. The history of Jerusalem is a bloody one. The blood of the sacrifices, the blood of the Passover lambs, the blood of the prophets, the blood of Jesus Christ who takes away the sin of the world. When Jerusalem rejected the word of the prophets, it rejected the word incarnate. When it stoned the prophets, It was stoning the word that those prophets were speaking. Know this. When you suffer insult or hardship or persecution because you are a Christian and you are standing up for your faith and speaking the word of God lovingly but clearly and boldly, remember, it's about the word of God. It's about Jesus. The world wants Jesus silent, out of the way, dead and gone. The world of political power has no use for a king who rides on a donkey, for a king who dies for his people rather than having his people die for him. A king without a palace whose robes were worn in mockery, whose crown of all things was made of thorns, whose earthly throne was a cross. No place to lay his head. Jesus Christ is the end of politics as usual, as both King Herod and Pontius Pilate discovered. They both died in disgrace. Jesus rose from the dead. Trust not in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. The psalmist in Psalm 146 hit the bullseye. Politics has no use for Jesus. Same goes for religion. Jesus ran roughshod over religious traditions. He claimed God as his father. He interpreted the law of God without consulting the experts. He taught that the law of God was to be kept perfectly to the smallest letter, the least stroke of a pen, in thought, in word, and in actions. Commandments, God's commandments, were not bargaining chips to strike deals with God. Trying hard doesn't count for righteousness. Being good is never good enough. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. But Jesus also revealed the mercy, the heart of God for sinners. Putting the losers in the front row and the winners at the back of the line. Why, he turned people's religious notions upside down and spun them on their heads. He taught that it is by mercy, not by merit, that we stand justified before Almighty God. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing and stoning those sent to you. How often I've longed to gather your children together as a mother hen gathers her brood of chicks under her wings. But you would not. God had been clucking like a hen for centuries, through priest and prophet, word and scribe. But like little wayward chicks, people refused to be gathered. They would not live dependent on the Lord. They would not have Jesus as their Messiah. They would not be dependent on the word that gave them life. That's the sad history of Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. It breaks his heart. After all, this is his city, his temple, his throne. Yet here he's unrecognized, unwanted, hated. He came to his own, yet his own did not receive him.
Brothers and sisters, we are reminded here again that salvation is ever by God's grace, gift unearned, always the mercy of our Father in heaven. The Son of God goes this way alone for you and for me and for all. He spreads His wings over the city that wants Him dead, over a world that considers Him a stranger, a nuisance, an imposter, a fraud. He spreads those arms wide to embrace every sinner and every sin in the only death that saves. Jerusalem has a future. I'm not talking about the piece of real estate near Israel. No, the Jerusalem of God's making by His great mercy and grace in Jesus, the Jerusalem that St. John sees in the book of Revelation coming down from heaven as a beautiful bride dressed for her wedding day, radiant. She is spotless, glorious. The blood shed in her alleys has been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Her streets, once littered with stones cast in hatred, are now streets paved in pure gold. The prophets and the apostles she killed are now her firm foundation. And Christ the Lamb, who died at her gates, is the Lamb enthroned. He is her light. He is her life. And gathered around Him, this triumphant Lamb upon His throne, our people gathered around Him, people of every nation, culture, and language under the sun, and you. And you. Oh, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, no more aching, no more lamenting, only joy. Your citizenship is there, around Jesus. In His Jerusalem. Blessed be He who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.